Hi, this is Otto Collins from OttoCollins.com, and welcome to our audio on why it's never too late to heal a relationship with your father, son, or anyone else. And I'm joined by my wife and partner, Susie. Susie has graciously agreed to play the role of interviewer. Susie, thanks so much for being willing to do this. I appreciate it. And I know that there are a lot of men and women who are going to be benefited from this recording.
Great. Are you ready to get started?
I am ready to get started.
Okay, so tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I am a guy who, since about 1985, I would call a spiritual seeker. Somebody who's always wanted to find the answers to life's deeper questions, problems. And I always wanted to know, the answers really to three questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what's this all about? And those questions have been three of the biggest drivers in my life. Not that anything's necessarily wrong with my life, but those questions I've always thought to be really powerful and thought-provoking questions. And for those who don't know me professionally, I've done a lot of things over the course of my life. I've been a salesman. I sold advertising for 20 years. And back in 1999, we started our relationship coaching business. And so with you, Susie, we've done a lot of work with people in all over the world around the topics of love, relationships, personal growth, and how to create the best relationship in life possible. We've written quite a few books together, and really that's what we've done since 2003 full time. And I'm really excited to be here and talking about this topic of never too late to heal a relationship with a father or son or anyone else. There's a lot more I could go into, but that's the short version of who I am and sort of what brings me to this recording.
So you mentioned the title, Never Too Late, of this audio. Tell the listeners a little bit about why you chose this, what it means to you, and what it can mean to the listener.
So many men, I suppose women too, there are challenges, there are problems that happen in life. We get in, we're in relationship with every single person that we come in contact with. And I don't think there's any relationship for a man, for a father or for a son or any man, that's more important than his relationship with his father or son. That relationship, that dynamic is so critical. And what I see as I go through life is that there are so many men that are in these relationships with their father or son, and it just isn't going well. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of disillusionment, a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of men, frankly, just think that it's so painful to be in a relationship with their father or son in the way that they really want. A lot of men just say it's not worth it. It's not worth the hassle. And so they choose to just sort of back out of it all. And then there's another aspect. A lot of times what happens in relationships with fathers and sons is that there's this antagonistic relationship, or there's this one-upsmanship where the father or the son or both looks at life like my way's the better way. And if you would only see things my way, life would be so much better for you and for me. And so many men have this sort of outlook on life that, and they're not even conscious of it a lot of times, that if I could only get them to change and be more like me, then they would be much better and I would be much better off, which I see as a total illusion. But that's what so many men try to do, and it causes so much pain. So you've got both, you know, it happens both ways in these painful relationships. Some men just check out totally in their relationships with their father or son. Other men, you know, they get into these sort of embattled relationships, and the pain is there in both instances, and a lot of times men just don't realize it. And the reason why I chose this topic of it's never too late to heal a relationship with a father, son, or anyone else is that's what men think.
That it is too late.
It is too late.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, well, it's not even worth it anymore. Or they think he doesn't want it. Or they think
I don't want it.
I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And this even happens to men that are in their 20s and 30s, where they look at this man that they, in some cases, idolized or really looked up to, or in some cases, he was distant and estranged and, you know, maybe even gone or didn't even know him. And it's like, it's not worth it to rebuild or try to rekindle this relationship because it's just too painful. And the one thing I would want to say is that if you're a man or even a woman, if you happen to be, you know, stumble up on this recording and listening to it, is if there's any aspect of you that still wants to heal it, that relationship, no, it's never too late. Because if you have that desire, that interest, if there's something within you that wants to heal that relationship, and that doesn't mean that you have to be best buddy-buddy forever. You can do it if you want to. You can do it.
So over this last year, you started really delving into your relationship with your father. And this led to all kinds of insights and finding out new things. And it led to a book that you have written, Preaching to Monkeys. And within all that, you talk to a lot of men who their initial reactions when you mentioned what this book was about was what you've just been talking about, was that either they saw it as, I know one man said, well, my father lives, what, thousands of miles away, and that's not even far enough, or something like that. So it really ran the gamut. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what you saw in other men as you talk to other men about this.
As I was in the process of writing the book, Preaching to Monkeys, which is about hope, healing, and understanding for fathers, sons, and the people who love them, I put the book out to 30 or 40 people, 30 or 40 men, and asked them to read it, to give me feedback about it. And as I was putting the book out there, what was interesting, first of all, was the reaction that I got from women who knew that I was doing this. That, you know, the women would always be the first ones to raise their hand and say, I know somebody who needs that. And then there was the reaction of the men. And in so many cases, case after case, the men who would read this would be deeply touched by it because they could see part of their story in my story. They could see how in their relationship with their father or their son, that there was a wanting for more in a lot of cases that they didn't know how to touch, or they didn't know how to reach. They didn't know how to get to. And it was just like this thing that they wanted was just a little bit out of reach, and they'd take a few steps and it was still out of reach and it was still out of reach. And that's what I saw, was so many men that as they read the book, it brought up things for them that made them really want to find that relationship once again with their father or their son.
So what do you do if the relationship is just too impossible, too painful, you're just too estranged to fix it, that you think, you know, it's just, it's a lost cause? You touched a little bit about this before. Should you still try to focus on the relationship with your father or your son?
There's going to be times when in some situations where that totally could be true, that for you, and only you can decide, only you can say whether it's too painful, it's too much to dive into, too much to, you know, to start taking a look at. And what I would say to somebody is that if that desire is there, then it's not too much. It's not too much. What I found in my own life is that when you start opening yourself to insights and you start opening yourself in ways to see things differently, then true miracles can start to happen for you. You know, one of my favorite quotes ever, in fact, I put this in the book Preaching to Monkeys, was that what a miracle is, and it's a quote from the author, speaker, and teacher Marianne Williamson, and she said that a miracle is just simply a shift in perception.
Mm.
And if you have a shift in perception about something that happened between you and your father or you and your son, or you have a shift in perception about, oh, well, I used to see it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And now I see that it could have been different than how I saw it before. When you start to see that, well, I was just caught up in my world. And not that the other person's world was better, but just when you start to see that that other person, their world to them is reality. And so many times that reality determines their behavior. And if things happened, you know, in that relationship between them and you, you know, the person who's listening to this, I'm certainly, you know, if it's something that was incredibly painful, or if it was abuse, or if it was anything that was unkind or inconsiderate, I'm certainly not condoning that. But I really believe that we all always do the best that we can in every moment. And sometimes that doing the best that we can in every moment can come out in ugly ways.
Can you give us an example in your life, Otto? Because you took a year and really saw some different things about your dad. Can you just give us a quick example of what you saw, a shift in perception, as you're saying?
Well, I tell you what I'll do is I'll tell a story that I didn't include in the book.
Okay.
And it'll give you a little bit of an idea of just how our perceptions of how things should be. One of the things that my father wanted almost as much as anything is he wanted to leave a legacy for my sister and me. And one of the things that he did on two separate occasions was my father had it as this idea that he was going to leave my sister and I a house. Like he was gonna buy enough houses to whereas when he was dead and gone, that he was going to leave my sister a house and leave me a house, and financially we'd be set, you know. Now, you got to understand something about my father. He didn't have the kind of money that he could buy nice houses with. And so he ended up buying two separate houses in addition to the house that he lived in that were not ones that my sister nor I would actually want to live in. First of all, that was problem one. But problem two was my father wasn't Mr. Fix-It. And so he wasn't very good at being, a landlord and being a supervisor of tenants. And I'll never forget my father, the night that my father called me on the phone, and he was so excited because he had just bought this house. There was actually a house that was next door to where he and my mother lived. And he said, I just rented this house to some guy, and he says he knows you. And I said, really, who was it? And he named who this guy was. And I could have just sunk through the floor. I couldn't believe my father's stupidity in that moment. Now, what I mean by that is when he told me who this guy was, he was one of the biggest drug dealers in the city where I grew up. He was a big drug dealer, and he was on a first name basis with all the detectives and all the police, departments in the county where I was born and raised. And as it came to be, as I found out, nothing had changed in 40 years. This guy still was the same guy today as he was 40 years ago. So the guy ends up, renting the house, not paying rent, ripping all the copper wire out of the house and so forth. And so I really thought, oh, Dad, why? Why would you do something like this? Because I just thought it was just the most foolish thing I'd ever heard of. But when I stopped to really, really tune in to why he did this, it wasn't that he had this great desire to rent houses and buy houses. He had it made up in his mind that that was the best way he knew how to leave a legacy for my sister and I. And even as I'm thinking about this right now, I'm really touched because it goes back to something, Susie, I said a little while ago, that we all always do the best that we can. It's just that we look at the people in our life and we think, oh my goodness, how could they do that? Why would they do that? And we're all always just doing the best we can given the thinking we have in the moment.
So when you realized that, you had a lot more compassion for him?
I no longer thought he was doing this total dumbass move. When I really got it that underneath that, when I got underneath those foolish business and financial decisions, what I really saw was that my father was just wanting to do something from this place of love for both me and my sister. And when you see it different, everything changes.
So the judgment falls away.
When you see anything differently, when you start to see a possibility, a glimmer of what they might be seeing, then that's when the shifts happen, and that's when the miracles can happen in your life. And again, I'm not saying that you have to be best friends or you have to have this certain kind of relationship with a father or a son, but I am pointing out that the things that that other person has said, has done, they're just doing the best they can in the moment. And sometimes it's not very good.
So let me ask you this. What does this do for you as the person who is opening to this maybe new perception. I understand what it might do for the relationship, but what does it do for you since you went through a whole year of opening to new perceptions?
Yeah.
What has it done for you?
That's a great question, Susie, because, you know, what, especially over the last year when I was going through the process of writing the book, Preaching the Monkeys, in the first not very long of a period of time, I wrote the first couple of chapters of the book and I was kind of done. I didn't want to write anymore because the insights I had gotten, the things I began to see about my father and the healing that had taken place within me and being able to see him with new eyes, I was like, I mean, it was so amazing. And what it did for me as I just continued on, because even though there was this period of time where it's like, okay, I'm done, I don't want to do anymore, I felt this inner nudge. Well, first of all, the inner nudge was from our Creator, the Great Spirit, God, whatever name you want to give, you know, the all that is. I also got quite a few nudges from you and also from my son to finish the book. But what it did for me was when you start to see things differently, that these things that have caused you pain in your life, there's a certain amount of freedom that starts to happen within you. And there's a certain amount of openness and there's a certain amount of expansion of, it's like you can, it's like maybe you're suffocating and you're learning how to breathe fully and completely and deeply. When I think about what it did, what it's done for me of going through this process of healing my relationship with my father. And, you know, there's always a new layer and there's always a new layer. But it's, there's a peace that's there. There's a love that's there. There's a depth that's there. And the thing that's happened is that peace, that love, that inner quiet that is there more and more of the time, that plays out in every other aspect of my life. So it's not just I'm healing this aspect of my life in my relationship with my father. When I'm doing that, my relationship with you, Susie, is different. My work is different. Mm-hmm. My relationship with my son is different. My relationship with the people I come in contact with at the grocery store or anywhere, my coaching clients.
Your mother.
Oh, my mother, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
More love, more compassion, more kindness. And when you see that, when you feel that, and when you start to live from that place as much of the time as possible, and I'm certainly not suggesting that I live from that place all the time, but when you do that more and more, other people feel it. Other people feel it.
Mm. Well said. There are going to be people who listen to this who have men in their lives who have differences, upsets, and in some cases are even estranged from their father or son. What would you say to those people who want to help the man in their life whose relationship is strained or difficult?
If you're somebody who is in a relationship with somebody, you know, you're somebody who, you're in a relationship with somebody and you just know, okay, they would be so much better off if they could heal this relationship or if they could look at this differently.
Because we've heard that from women.
Women?
Who hear about this project of yours. And
Woman, you know, I can't tell you how many women have raised their hand when I've been talking about this project of you know, preaching to monkeys, hope, healing, and understanding.
You had one of those women at the ball game a few weeks ago.
I went to a Cincinnati Reds Major League Baseball game 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a woman who I happened to be sitting next to at the ballpark, when I mentioned to her about the project, she started pointing to her boyfriend next door, you know, in the next seat.
He needs that, right?
And so what I would suggest is don't do it. It's sort of like jumping off of a 20-story building. Don't do it. And the reason I say don't do it is not because you don't want to be loving or you don't want to be kind, but you know, we've got to come to the truth in our own way.
So me telling you, you got to fix your relationship with your dad. That'll make you more peaceful. Is not going to do it.
No, because that's where resistance comes in.
Yeah.
Is if I'm already feeling something and I see this as it's already a problem and I'm already resisting it, then I'm getting this, you know, this person, in most cases, somebody that you love or somebody that you care about is somebody's poking the bear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to poke the bear because you might wake the bear up. Well, in this case, you might be doing this from the most loving place in the world, but you got to do it in a way that you just show them examples of maybe opening in every moment, just opening when you don't feel like opening. You know, that's maybe what I would suggest that somebody do is show examples of what it might be like if somebody sees you when you open anyway, when you might be tempted to shut down.
Can you give an example of that?
Absolutely. So let's say that if you're a woman who might be listening to this, or even a friend of somebody who maybe is in a strange relationship with a father or a son. So instead of, you know, you really ought to heal that relationship with your father, or you really ought to call your dad.
Yeah, you're angry, and that comes from him, and that's because you haven't healed your relationship with your father.
Yeah, so instead of approaching it like that.
Uh-huh, which is very tempting, by the way.
One of the things that I think might be more kind is just to talk to them about, do you ever miss your dad? Do you ever miss what could have been? Have you ever wanted to have a better relationship with him and you just didn't know how? And just engage in in the most kind and loving conversation you could ever have about that, without trying to make them wrong, without trying to force them to do something that they're not ready to do, but just from this place of total love. Just get curious. Because if you're in relationship with somebody like that, then that's going to make the two of you more connected if you do it from this kind and loving place.
And you might get, I don't want to talk about it. And so you just let it go at that time, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I would suggest. Mm-hmm. But you're going to know, well, that other person is going to know,
mm-hmm,
whether it's safe in that moment to talk about it. And that's what's really underneath. If somebody doesn't want to be, you know, if it's painful to be in a relationship with somebody, In so many cases, it's because it doesn't feel safe. It doesn't feel safe to open to that person. It doesn't feel safe to be in any kind of relationship with them a lot of times. It doesn't feel safe to be who you really are. it doesn't feel safe to give your opinions. Mm-hmm. And so if you're somebody who's trying to, you know, make them see, oh, you know, your relationship could be so much better. Your life could be so much better. In fact, our relationship would be so much better, you know. Just you talk to them from a place of love and kindness mm-hmm. and openness and from a place of curiosity instead of judgment and finger pointing and trying to show them how wrong they are.
Right. And, you know, in severe cases especially, the word forgiveness is a really hot button for people. What would you say about that? About, you know, if you are trying to be there for your partner and you've been urging forgiveness or whatever, is that a tactic that you would use or not?
Well, forgiveness is one of those things that, you know, we're wanting something that, you know, may not happen. You know, if there's forgiveness, if forgiveness is really wanted, you're feeling like you're wronged and you can never open unless they prove to you that they were wrong and you were right.
Which you may not, never.
You may never get. And the difference between wanting to prove that they were wrong or they wronged you somehow and you were right, underneath that, well, first of all, there's a little bit of victim there. And in some cases, there are going to be some times when somebody did something, somebody said something, somebody physically did something that was horrible, just plain horrible. But the idea of waiting until forgiveness happens. And when I say waiting for forgiveness to happen, maybe what I meant to do was to take that one layer deeper and say, if you're waiting for forgiveness to happen before you open your heart again, that is something you may be waiting a long time for. You have to determine, is having peace, love, acceptance, an inner peace more important than holding on to your anger, holding on to your hurts, holding on to your disappointments, your disillusions, all of those things.
And what should have been, what could have been.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. When I look back at my relationship with my father, all of these things that I saw that were huge insights for me, in almost every case, was because of what I saw in my earlier years that, I mean, I'd made it all up that he should have been a certain way. And because he wasn't a certain way, then I wasn't okay. Or because he wasn't a certain way, then I didn't approve of him. That's painful. To go through your life and to have this sense that, number one, you're not okay unless somebody else is different. And secondly, that you're not going to open to them or open to the other people and the other, you know, the rest of your life because you're shut down in this other area. That's tough. That's tough.
Right. And I think you're saying that if there is this opening, it doesn't mean that you're suddenly going to spend holidays together or call your father every week or do the kinds of things that good sons or good fathers or whatever do. But it means opening your heart means more about the peace and freedom inside you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I tune into, you know, the possibilities that are there for a man who's willing to start to see his relationship with his father, or maybe not even the relationship, just come to some sort of peace about what is, then I said this earlier in this recording, is that that's when the miracles start to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And as you just pointed out, it's not something that you have to, you know, you don't have to spend every holiday together. You don't have to be on the phone all the time. But if you start to open, first of all, if you're a man and you're listening to this and you're wanting to know the real value, the maybe the biggest benefit that's going to come out of you healing a relationship with a father or a son, and that is if you are married to somebody or you are in a committed relationship or you've got a girlfriend, I will tell you that that relationship will be changed forever as you start to open more in your relationship with your father or your son. Because if you are blocked emotionally and energetically in how you see your father, your son, you have all these shoulds, all these things that you wish that they were like, and that you'd be so much better if they were this way, I will guarantee you that if you allowed your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other to be in a safe space and you ask her, do you think our relationship would be better if I was more open and more loving in this way with my father or son? I will guarantee you that she would say yes. Because that's something that women can see a lot of times that we men cannot. Women see that there's a direct connection to opening our hearts in one part of our life and the direct connection with being open to opening our hearts and having the best relationship possible in another part of our life. So, I mean, if you're in a relationship with a woman, that's one of the best places that you're going to see dramatic change is if you want your woman to open to you, start opening in other ways. When she starts seeing that guy that she knows is in there, because she wouldn't be with you if she didn't see something special in you. When she sees that guy start to bloom a little bit, start to open a little bit, she's going to say, oh yeah, I knew that was in there. I didn't know when it was going to come out, but I knew that was in there.
Because what I've seen with you, and I know that this work that you've done the last year has been a big contributor to this, but you're less angry. And I think a lot of men do exhibit maybe not outward anger a lot, but inward anger. Not that men have, you know, they're the only ones that get angry by any means, but that's what I saw in you. I saw you being a lot less angry.
Now, for me, my anger was the thing that started to get less, because that's how it happened for me. You know, in my life, that was sort of my default things didn't go my way. I'd let them go, let them go, let them go. And then anger would build, and whew, it would just explode. And the people around me would be going, wait, whoa, what just happened here?
And that's what your father showed you.
That's what he showed me. But so that's just the way that it played out for me. But mm-hmm. there are other guys that their default is they shut down. Mm-hmm. They get quiet. They become aloof. They, they'll go work on a car or they'll do something and they'll pull away. So no two men's strategy for not looking at the relationship with their father or
Protecting themselves from pain.
Yeah, it's just that's exactly right. It's just a way of protecting yourself from pain. And there's no two men that it's going to play out the same with. And so that was just my strategy, was the anger. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I didn't realize it sometimes when it was becoming a real thing. But I also don't think that most other men, when it plays out in other ways, they're not aware that, I'm just shutting down here.
Mm-hmm. That's basically what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, and when I said earlier that if you're repressing in one area, basically what happens and why there's such a big benefit to healing a relationship with a father or a son or anyone really, but almost everybody is walking around today with what I call armored up. You've got your walls, you've got your defenses, you've got your strategy for protecting yourself. When what I've started to see is there's nothing to protect yourself from. There's nothing that you have to, there's nothing that you need to hide from. Because those things that you still carry with you today that were painful when you were 5 and 6 and 8 and 15 or 20 or 30, all you're doing is bringing those thoughts and bringing those memories and those painful moments into the present moment. And whenever you can look at those with new eyes and just simply say, you know, those are things that happened to me. I wish they hadn't happened, and I'm still okay. If you can start to see that regardless of what's happened to you, you're still okay, that's a game changer. It's a game changer.
Your father had passed, and you had done some work on yourself, but within this last year, he was not in form. He was not in his body. He had passed on. What would you say to other men who their fathers or their sons have passed on, and how that works, you know, how you can heal your relationship even though that's happened?
Most people mistakenly believe that the healing has to take place in some kind of a dialogue between you and that other person. In other words, you got to talk it out. You know, I'm going to tell you how I felt. I'm going to tell you how I was wronged. And we're going to have this big, you know, come together. And you know, it doesn't have to be that way. And here's why. What really is at the heart of healing is you to see it differently. There's a quote that I included in the book, Preaching to Monkeys, and the quote is from Byron Katie. Byron Katie's the person who created something called The Work. It's four questions that can really change your life. And in the book, the quote that I included from her is when she said, "Your family doesn't have to be alive for you to do the work on them." And the reason for that is the work is done within you. You know, you do the work on yourself. It's not that other person. Yes, you might want that other person to make amends or anything like that, but the healing takes place within you. Now, that's difficult for a lot of people to hear because we want those other people to pay. We want those other people to be different, but the healing happens within us. And that's what I've seen is that you don't have to have your father or your son be alive. You don't have to have your father or your son be like this big presence in your life to have this healing. You just have to be willing to see it differently. What I found as I went through the process of writing that the book, Preaching to Monkeys, what I saw was in situation after situation, I saw it one way, and in a lot of cases, I saw it a way that caused me pain for 40 years. And it turned out that when I started to talk to my mother or I talked to my sister about some of these situations that were really painful to me, when I talked to them about these situations, I found out that the way I saw it wasn't how it happened at all. I'd made it up. And so when I saw that, it was like, wow.
You've been carrying it around for 40 years. And
I've been carrying some of these things around for 40 years, and I had just made up the story around why I was feeling so much hurt, so much pain, so much disappointment. And when I saw that, and I saw how much I'd done this,
that's freedom.
That's freedom. But you got to be willing to see it. You got to be willing to see it.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about Preaching to Monkeys. Why in the world did you name it Preaching to Monkeys?
That's a great question because there's a lot of top name marketers that have talked to me about the book title and said, maybe you shouldn't call it Preaching to Monkeys. But you know, the book had to be called Preaching to Monkeys. Preaching to Monkeys is not just the title of the book. It's a chapter title in the book, but one of the stories in the book is about when my father used to preach on the streets in the town where I grew up, and he used to do that on Friday nights. And not only was he preaching to people that would come listen, but there was a man and a woman who would always come, and it was right on the streets, literally. They'd pull up in their car, and this couple that would come almost every Friday night, they really did have a couple of pet monkeys that were the size of small children, and they would come listen to the church service that my father was holding there on Friday nights, right in downtown in the city I grew up, and he literally was preaching to monkeys. And I just thought, it was the title that the book had to be. And I thought it was fun, it was engaging, but it was also, that chapter was also such a big healing chapter for me when I saw just all the stories I'd made up about him, why he did the things that he did in life. And then when I started to see him differently, Preaching to Monkeys just felt like the title that the book had to be. It just had to be that way.
Yeah, and this book has so many wonderful stories in it that are funny, that are heart-wrenching. And I know I'm prejudiced, but it's really a good read.
Susie, I want to thank you for being here with me. And for those of you who are listening, my hope and my desire is that with what I've shared, what Susie has shared here, has been helpful to you in some way. If you haven't picked up a copy of the book Preaching to Monkeys yet, there's links on my website, ottocollins.com, that you can get a copy of the book. I would love for you to do that. Please drop me a line and let me know what you thought. And
you did it in audio version too.
Oh yeah, audio version. I also did that. So whether you pick up the written version or the audio, I think you're going to like either one. But so please do that. I think you'll be benefited from it. And I think that it can be a doorway into healing in some ways. So it's not me preaching to you or telling you how your life should or has to change. I'm just telling my story. And through my story, a lot of men have found new insights into their relationship, not just with their father or their son, but the other people in their life too. And I think that if there's one thing I've found that's changed me forever is the understanding that this moment is the only moment we've got. And if you are holding on to resentment and pain and upset, and you're living from this place where your heart is defended and you're not open, that's a painful way to go through life. Open your heart and really, really see that there's a different way. And it's a different way of just being with yourself and with the people in your life. And miracles do happen. And when you're able to see it even a little bit differently, when there's just a little crack in the window, life gets different and it gets so much better.
And if people would like to have a conversation with you about this,
if you're listening to this and you'd like to have a deeper conversation, not just about a relationship with your father or your son, but about anything, whether it's, I call this a stuck place. If you're having a challenge in a relationship of any kind, that's a stuck place. Just like if your finances aren't the way you want them, if your health isn't the way you want it, whatever it is, these are stuck places. And if there's anything in your world that's going on that you would like some help with, please go to my website, ottocollins.com. There's contact forms and ways to contact me on that website. So go there and please reach out to me, and it will be my pleasure to explore with you, what might be next in your life. Please reach out to me and let me know that you've got something going on that you'd like to be different. Again, thanks so much for listening to this audio. We really appreciate it, and let me know how I can help you in the future. Once again, this is Otto Collins. I've been here with my wife, Susie. Again, the website is ottocollins.com. That's OttoCollins.com. Thanks so much for listening.